You're on the journey home. Good afternoon. Good to have you along with us today. Now, about a month ago, we spoke with journalist Joshua Kors from The Nation magazine about a truly shocking situation that he discovered in which returning war veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan who were suffering from all manner of problems, including post-traumatic stress syndrome and various head injuries, were being told to take a particular type of discharge, under the 513 chapter of Regulation 635-200-513 that was centered on a personality disorder and it would then enable the Army to not have to provide for the basic benefits that these returning servicemen and women were entitled to. Well, Josh Kors blew the lid off that one, and since then we wanted to have him back on and get an update on the situation with our returning vets. Joshua Kors, welcome. Good to have you with us today on the journey home.
Good to be with you, Diego.
So, did your article in The Nation cause anything to change for the many veterans who are returning and were signing up for this 513 special discharge that you discovered to be so problematic when it came time for them to actually collect on their benefits?
Sure. Well, as a preventative measure, I'm sure it's reached a lot of soldiers who otherwise would have taken the personality disorder discharge, but aren't going to do that. You know, let me back up and just explain precisely what it was we were looking at. Specialist John Town, who served in Ramadi, Iraq, was struck by a rocket and went largely deaf because of the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
He was given a Purple Heart for his wounds, but when it came time to discharge him, the Army said that his deafness was actually caused by this personality disorder, and discharging him that way, they didn't have to pay him disability or medical benefits the rest of his life. They also got the opportunity to take back his signing bonus so that he and thousands of other wounded veterans find out on their final day in uniform they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars.
Because they were injured in combat and now discharged under this special provision, the personality disorder discharge under Chapter 513. But weren't they told by their counselors or doctors about the fact that they were signing away their benefits at that time?
No, Diego, in fact, just the opposite. Every soldier I spoke to during my 7 months investigating this scandal told me their doctor told them the exact opposite, reassured them, if you take this personality disorder discharge, you'll get medical care from the VA, you'll get disability pay, you'll get to keep your signing bonus. It's only in the final hours before leaving they find out none of those promises are true.
So this makes the Walter Reed scandal look small, in a sense, because...
Well, nothing's small when it comes to our veterans, but certainly the difference between seeing a few rats in the corner of a hospital room and being stuck without disability or medical care for the rest of your life, certainly, you know, we're talking about a very serious situation. But you asked at first about what has changed.
What has changed?
And I'm happy to tell you that the Congress, several top senators, including Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, Joseph Lieberman, and even conservative Kit Bond, have united behind an investigation of this article. And they're now requesting that the accounting office look into this scandal and get to the bottom of it.
That's good news. Now, what has become of Specialist John Town, who is at the center of your article?
Well, his story has another plot twist you'd expect from a drama this deep. Nothing happened. Nothing at all. His case lingered for 8 months. the VA told him they couldn't even consider his application because they had lost it 5 times. And they told him each time, just keep reapplying or start back from scratch. Well, I spoke with Representative Bob Filner of San Diego. He is the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. And wouldn't you know, just days after Bob Filner got involved, Johnstown got an emergency phone call from the Dayton, Ohio VA, right outside where he lives. And they told him, come on down. We've done a 180-degree turnaround. We're now going to provide you full medical care for the rest of your life.
For the injuries that he sustained while serving in the U.S. Army.
That's right, for the rocket attack. So with the Congress now looking to investigate and the House getting involved in Towne's case specifically, the onus is really on the Surgeon General to take it from here. Again, Towne is by no means alone. In the last 6 years, 22,500 soldiers have been discharged with this personality disorder provision. That's including Towne, whose deafness was seen as personality disorder, or Richard Dykstra, whose bilateral hernia was seen as personality disorder. Diego, since we last spoke, I've been investigating the story of one soldier who damaged the lens of his eyeball in Iraq. That damage was seen as the result of personality disorder. So
this sounds like a tremendous fraud being perpetrated on those who have chosen to serve our country under the most difficult of circumstances. And, the Surgeon General or the Veterans Administration really should be absolutely ashamed of themselves for this. This is, 22,500 troops. That is a huge number of veterans.
And it's a large amount of money by cheating those 22,500 veterans of their disability and medical benefits. The military is saving $12.5 billion in disability and medical care.
That's the motivation, is it?
There's a lot at stake. And that's why Gail Pollack, the Surgeon General, that's one of the reasons many suspect she said she knew nothing about these 22,500 soldiers. The next step for the veterans group that were seeking justice here, they presented her a stack of cases of soldiers, including Specialist John Towne. Pollack said her office would look at it, and 5 months later they came back, said they had done a thoughtful and thorough review, and determined that all of the diagnoses were correct. I even got a memo from Lieutenant Colonel Bob Tallman, spokesman for the U.S. Army, that went even further than her memo. His memo said they had gone back and reviewed all the cases from the last 4 years at Fort Carson, where Specialist Towne was based, and determined all of those cases to be correct. But, Diego, I did a touch more reporting and found out that their review was a fraud.
How so?
In the 5 months they spent investigating, they didn't interview a single soldier. What they did do was go back to the doctor's offices where the false diagnoses were created and ask them whether they got it right the first time. The doctors said, we got it right. And they considered that case closed.
And so they didn't even review the actual medical records to see, because you can tell by looking at a medical record, if it says, bilateral hernia, well, that means something medically, and that's not usually associated with clinical depression.
Yeah.
These are two different things.
Their methodology seems to be a jumble at this point, and that's why I called Lieutenant Colonel Tallman and asked him how they could consider it a thoughtful and thorough review without contacting a single soldier. And he told me that he really didn't think that they could. And he said, Joshua, let me be clear about this. I didn't write this memo, and I have no knowledge of its contents. He said that his name and his office were stamped at the bottom of it because the army likes to put an army face, as he phrased it, on issues that address army-related notions. Well, he directed me to the person at the Surgeon General's office who did write the memo, Cynthia Vaughn. She's a public relations spokesman for the Surgeon General, Gail Pollack. And after 21 phone calls, I finally broke through and was able to get an answer from her. It's an answer, I think, that will stun most of your listeners. She said the reason they didn't call any of the soldiers was because these discharges occurred a few months ago, and Ms. Pollack didn't feel that the soldiers today would have any medically valid information to share about their medical stasis a few months ago. Well, certainly if Specialist Town had been deaf before joining the Army, he might have remembered that. If he truly was too ill to serve from his very first day in uniform, his commanders on base, who had watched him earn a dozen medals for his valid performance, might have had some commentary to give the Surgeon General. But Ms. Pollack didn't think so, so they concluded the review without doing a single interview.
So how long is this cover-up going to continue, and will the senators be able to shake things up enough in the Surgeon General's office and the Department of Veterans Affairs in order to make it right with those 22,500 veterans, many of which were falsely discharged under this the special Chapter 513? That's the big question. What happens next to our troops now that they're home?
That's right. What happens from here is anybody's guess. I just got off the phone with Bob Filner, the chairman of the VA committee in the House, and he is talking about hearings using the Congress's subpoena power to get answers here. Right now, they've been able to stonewall and simply turn their cheeks to these things. It'll be interesting to see once it gets pressed to a point where they have to answer. And, you know, to go back to the previous investigations, we had the scandal with Walter Reed. The Pentagon reacted in two ways to that. First, it accepted the resignation of Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, and it hired the public relations firm LMW Strategies with a $100,000 no-bid contract to put a positive spin on the scandal. It'll be interesting to see what they do at this point with Surgeon General Gail Pollack and this $12.5 billion scandal.
Joshua Kors, thanks for joining us today on the Journey Home with this update.
Thank you, Diego.
You're welcome. Joshua Kors from The Nation magazine.